And at 8:30, hey, bang on time. Gavin Steinhobel, our attorney at law from Kloppers Inc., has once again joined us on a Wednesday morning.
Yeah, good to be back. A lovely Bellito morning. It's a nice and sunny.
Can you?
What did the poet say? The worm is on the thorn and the lark is in the sky. God is in his heaven and all is good with the world.
Now there's a
thing.
There
we go.
Beautiful. Who wrote that?
I can't remember. I'll just remember the line.
I'll claim it. I wrote it.
There we go.
Poetry is wonderful. It does things to you. Look, the weather has been as it has been, but now that the sun is out, holidaymakers are really beginning to expand in terms of the spill out onto the open spaces and enjoying everything that is to be enjoyed,
wonderful.
And I can understand exactly what the attraction of Bonita
and every
is.
Now and again one of them gets the bug and decides to sell up and move here and boost our property market. So there we go.
It's becoming more common, I think. Well, you would know because it's your game, but I have it on fairly good authority that looking at the surveys, there seems to have been a very steady. Because when a boom happens, it tends to be a burst and then nothing. But for the North Coast, the development and the expansion and the arrivals of families seems to have continued at a pretty steady pace, resulting in the birth of yet another school, which is just about to go live. Very exciting development. We interviewed them the other day. And I asked the question, how many schools can a small area cope with? And they said, well, you know, you'll be surprised.
Well, there's a large number of people who are sending their kids to school in Maritzburg still and the good schools in Durban. My son went to Kearsney. My daughter's at Durban Girls. So, you know, if you can bring that nearer, there's definitely a demand for it. I mean, nobody really wants to travel to Maritzburg every weekend to go and watch your children play sport when you can do it locally and have them nearby. So I suppose there's a big need for it. I'm finding it very interesting looking at sort of just the different flavors of what's on offer, you know, and for people that are buying in Bellito. And particularly, you know, I've been involved in the Fairview thing for a couple of years, and, you know, they've got all the, they're extending the Fairview concept, the small holding concept, to sort of 1 hectare stands in extensions of Fairview, going to be orchards 1, 2, and 3, meadows and valleys. And there's all beautiful tracts of land up near the Mshlali River. And I can see that that's got a good uptake. You know, it's very popular. A lot of people are buying into it. A lot of people like the idea of sort of having your own sort of small holding and being able to, you know, have horses or whatever you like to do, or workshops, or, you know, it seems like the whole concept has really sort of captured the imagination of people who don't want to live in town.
It's always been a popular notion, but sadly, in South Africa, as you know, the risks of living out of a secure environment have been huge.
So this is a gated community, and I think that's what's changed it, you know, that you can go and have sort of almost a countryside existence, you know, 10, 15 minutes out of town, and it has its own security, and it's really, it's safe enough, and it's as safe as any estate. So, it's been quite an attraction. So it's been interesting just to see the evolution of the different offerings that are there for people who are moving to Bellito, or even people in Bellito who might just want to step out a little bit where things are a little bit more quiet. And you have less regulation, and you can sort of live your life according to your own vision of how you want to live it. So, yeah, it's quite interesting. It's all agric as well, so, you know, it's zoned as agricultural, so, you know, you also have favorable rates because you're not in town, and you also have a lot more scope with respect to what you can do on your property than you could in town. So yeah, it's very interesting.
Does it fall under the local municipality? In other words,
yes, it will still be Quadacusa.
Okay,
but yeah, it's rated as agricultural land and not township land.
And services are provided, or do you have to put in your own?
No, there are services provided by the estate itself. It's trying very hard to be an off-grid destination, but you do get connected to the grid, and you know, it's I think the water will be. They've got their whole internal reticulation that they do. So yeah, it's very interesting, very exciting sort of development. I must say, South Africans are ingenious. You know, we just sort of always finding ways to make things work despite collapsing infrastructure around us and a government that doesn't provide any services. We always sort of, find a way. And it's actually, in a sense, has been an impetus to a lot of original thinking. But I think this Fairview concept's definitely one of those original ideas, you know.
Is it a sectional title development? Or
no, no, no.
How does it
work? It's simply a homeowners association. Oh. That means if you get your title deed for your, 1 to 20 hectares that you buy, your title deed will make you a compulsory member of the Fairview Estate Homeowners Association, and that'll run the internal roads and the security fence and. They just built a dam, an additional dam. So it's those kind of community expenses that you'll be levied for. The levies are very reasonable. They're no different to levies anywhere else. So, yeah, so it's a homeowners association. So you own your you own your stand that you buy, but you're a compulsory member of this association. Same as I am a compulsory member of Simbiti's Homeowners Association, or somebody in Zimbali is a compulsory member of Zima. So, what all of these estates are doing is they're taking full control of running their own affairs internally.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So the roads get maintained by the HOA and. So you don't rely on KDM for anything, really.
Is one not then rather dependent on the administration of that homeowners association by virtue of the fact that presumably there's an elected body?
Yeah, so you'll most of them have sort of gone the route of registration of a non-profit company and then having a board of directors.
Because
the board of directors are voted in annually by the members. And so those directors, and I must say, generally with these high LSM estates, we basically got people that are captains of commerce buying in there, you get a very high caliber of director, somebody who's run a big show before. And so I must say, I deal with all the estates, and all their boards are well-functioning.
Ah.
They're astute people who are financially responsible. And have good visions. I've been very impressed with Simbiti lately with the development of that sports complex with the paddle courts, tennis courts, and squash courts. These are all sort of visionary moves that they've made over time. It's taken a while to get there, but that is the nice thing about a homeowners association is you can really be the captain of your own ship and master of your own destiny. You're not dependent on a municipality to get things done. That extra levy above the rates, I always thought is well worth it.
If one has a problem, and I always thinking a little bit laterally here about some of the stories that I've heard over the years of folk that live in estates that have had issues. For example, friends of mine wanted to sell up and go overseas, and they had to have a sign off from the homeowners association, I would imagine homeowners association, certainly the body controlling the estate, based on the fact that they had some issue around a servitude and a pipeline.
Yeah.
And it was a nightmare. They had to eventually pay quite a lot of money to this controlling entity to give them the sign off, and it really seemed to me like it was extortionate. And I thought, well, so what recourse do you have? But there's not much.
Well, I am dealing with this almost daily, and I see that all of the more mature estates have still got a large building control department, which was originally, in my opinion, and I don't mean to malign anybody, but in my opinion was established originally and was justified when there was a lot of building going on. But now there's, these estates are mature, they're almost fully sold and built up, and the building departments, the building control departments, still need something to do.
Ah.
And there's a juncture at which you need the permission of the estate to transfer and sell your property. And at this juncture, they insert themselves and they come and inspect the property to make sure all is regular. Now, in Zimbali, Simbiti especially, there's... They also have, a department that deals with fauna and flora. So the environmental department will come out and say, well, look, you know, you're not supposed to have invasive species here, so you've got to dig this up and replant it with something else and so forth and so forth, and you'll have to abide by that. So it's their opportunity to just make sure that the estate is still regular and the buildings and the people there are still observing the rules. The building control guys seem to lately all be on the same crusade. Well, let's see your building plans. And, well, oh, hang on, you know, that window that was there is no longer there, or there wasn't a window there, there is one now, or you've enclosed something you shouldn't have enclosed. And they use that. And so they weren't that fastidious for some reason a decade and a half or more ago. And now they're discovering, well, you know, you've kind of encroached here with your wall, or you've built something over a pipeline servitude, or, and they want you to regularize that before they'll give you permission to transfer the property. And so a lot of people are being caught out with problems that aren't really theirs.
Well, this is the
point. For example, you know, I've had one recently where it's the sixth owner of a property. And they don't have an occupation certificate, of course, because they didn't build the house, and they can't help it that the house doesn't resemble the plans to the very last minutiae. And so the HIA in that matter is quite adamant that these things must be resolved before they'll agree to the property being transferred. So now you're sitting in a situation where you've inherited a problem you weren't aware of. And you've got an expense to.
How can one regularize that? Is it just a question of paying them a lot of money?
Well, I think everybody who's in an estate at the moment should be aware of this trend. And what you should do is dig around, see if you've got plans, see if they are sort of commensurate with what's been built there, and make sure that, you know, you've stuck to the rules with respect to plant species and all of that. Because there's nothing more irritating than when you want to get on with life and you've got plans and you've bought something else, or you have to move or emigrate or whatever you want to do, to be stuck in a 3-month or longer cycle of trying to remedy things that weren't your fault in the first place. The point is, you own the property and you own it with its problems, and you're going to have to at some stage address them. And it's better, I think everybody who's lived any sort of life knows that it's better to be proactive about things than to be reactive. And so if you suspect that there's something irregular about your property and you're in an estate, I would seriously grasp the nettle, address it, look at what needs doing, and pay somebody to get it done. Register the servitude or regularize your plans. Get your occupations, and it's Rich coming from me because I don't think I have an OSP. but try and just get your property compliant, because it is extremely frustrating for everyone, the conveyancer, the buyer, the estate agent who's waiting for commission, to suddenly realize at the 11th hour that there's a whole lot of work to be done, some hurdles to be crossed before you're even going to get to register the transfer of this property. And that's sound advice, and I know it's going to be you're going to do it with a grudge, because it's not your problem. You didn't build the place. You bought it like that. And funnily enough, the selfsame HIA that now tells you it's problematic said nothing when you took transfer of it. So, these are the realities, and sometimes, you know, life's not always fair. But you can mitigate the pain by being proactive about it.
And indeed, if you're looking to buy, make sure right from the get-go that you've got everything that you need, should you wish to then later sell the property on.
We did develop a system amongst myself and my colleagues where we would say, look, you know what, we went to the HOA and said, you know, it's going to take 3 months to register a servitude here. What if we ask the seller if we can retain some of the money in our trust account, and then we'll appoint a surveyor to go out, we'll do the notarial deed, and we'll register the servitude or whatever needs doing, regularize the building plans. It's I must be honest with you, I'm quite tired of that, because it becomes my problem. But it seems to, if you're in a real rush, that is one way around it. But then, you know, again, you're gonna be divesting yourself of a property, but still tied to it. It's like getting divorced and seeing your ex-wife every day. It's not something that you want in your life. You want to move on. So pave the way for that.
Many women listening to this will say, well, what about divorcing your husband?
Or divorcing your husband and seeing him every day. I'm only saying that because I'm a male. But in any event, yeah, when you sell your property, I mean, you want a clean break from the property. You don't want to keep having expenses with respect to the property or keep having to come back or having meetings with professionals to get things done.
Yeah, when you want to move on.
Yeah, you want to move on. So if you want that to be a happy day, just have a look around and make sure that you've got your plans or go to your HR and say, look, you know what, do you have plans for this building and are you happy that everything's kosher? You know, tell me now because I don't want to find out in 5 years' time when there's very little I can do about it and I'm in a hurry to get out of here. So, yeah, just it's good advice.
That is such good advice because I think it's fair to say that almost everyone that is currently in a property, if you're sort of planning to live there forever, well, you're unusual because most people cycles of life change. You need to sell eventually.
Yeah, I mean, it's likely that, you know, your fortunes could change, hopefully for the positive, and you can afford something more grandiose.
Oh, but see the statistics at the moment indicate that South Africans are downscaling tremendously, maybe not in this purple patch or in our little bubble, not necessarily, but across the board, apparently, this is the thing. 60% of South Africans have downscaled and have gone to more affordable lifestyle.
Yeah, our economy can't keep taking poor policy and corruption and just absorbing it and continuing. You know, the chickens have come home to roost. Yeah. I see our president's 10-point plan basically revolves around keeping the same BEE that destroyed our economy and increasing government by creating more departments and more salaries when our government's already bloated, corrupt, and inefficient. You know, that's not the answer, Cyril. The answer is the private sector.
Exactly.
The answer is trim your government back to something we can afford.
On that note, did you see, I sent you this morning, there was a Rob Herzog launched his manifesto. Give me 100 days, he says, and as a benevolent dictator, temporarily, I will sign right up front my letter of resignation on 100 days. But this is our plan to fix South Africa. And it is awesome. I mean, I'm not exactly easily swayed by grand plans.
But Dave, I mean, I studied economics. I majored in it in my bachelor's degree, and the fixes for this country are stupendously simple. But one has to abandon ideology.
There you go.
And I mean, there's enough talented people. There's enough will. There's still enough money in the country to fix these things relatively easily. If you're prepared to rid yourself of bad ideas like socialism or communism or national health or BEE, which is just basically racism dollied up with nice words, and you know, it's simple. If you want to prosper as a country, you make yourself, you present yourself to the rest of the world as a destination where people can get a good return.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you do that? Well, you don't. First of all, don't tax them 30% on arrival by making them give away a third of their business to somebody they don't know. The second thing is make sure that property rights are protected. So there's no expropriation without compensation. And if you own something, that's it. The state can't take it from you without reimbursing you. And then they must have very good reasons for taking it. But you must get paid your fair value. And the third thing is the rule of law. Get the SAP. Right, you know, let's start getting on top of gangsters. And by gangsters, I specifically mean the cabinet.
Well, I think it's incumbent on every thinking South African to have a look at that manifesto that Herzog has released today and test it. Have a look. Mm. I'm not suggesting that it is perfect in any way,
but it is very refreshing. I haven't read it, but I can tell you it's going to be exactly those three things.
Well, it is and more, and it's the and more that because is exciting. It's been well thought through.
Because we do know that our foreign direct investment is at horrifically low levels. It should never be there. You know, comparable countries have four times as much foreign investment as we do, and we're a great destination for foreign investment. You know, everything's, we still have an infrastructure, we've still got a beautiful country, and we've got lots of labor. It should be an attractive place to invest money, and you know, that direct investment is what creates jobs, not government creates fake jobs.
good point to wrap it up today. Gavin Steinhobel, our attorney at law from Kloppers Inc., is available to guide you through the minefield of, well, let's just say what could go wrong and won't if you're in the hands of a true professional when it comes to property transactions and other legal matters as well. You'll find him down in the Bolito Village under the banner Kloppers Inc. Gavin, we look forward to catching up in a week's time.
Always a pleasure, Dave.
And the morning show continues.